Welcome to Torah Rimecha Nach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Lynn Kraft, and today we will be learning Melachim Aleph Perek Yudalad. In Pasuk Aleph, we're told that Yeravam's son Aviyah became ill. In Pasuk Bet, Yeravam told his wife to go to Shiloh to see Achiah HaShiloni, the Navi, to find out what would happen to their son. It seems that he wanted to find out about the fate of his dynasty from the Navi who prophesied about his founding a new dynasty in the first place. However, Yeravam must not have wanted Achiah HaShiloni to know that she was his wife, because he asked his wife to disguise herself before going. According to the Radak, Yeravam knew that Achiah HaShiloni hated him now that he had veered off the path of Hashem, and he didn't want that hatred to color his nevuah and cause him to say bad things about his son Aviyah. Of course, nevuah does not depend on how the Navi himself feels about a person, but rather on what Hashem would like to communicate to that person. Unfortunately, however, as we know from the last parak, Yeravam was already accustomed to trying to bend Hashem's will to his own personal desires. Yeravam's idea to have his wife disguise herself to go to Achiah HaShiloni was ultimately ironic in two different ways, as we find out in Psukim Dalet and Hey. Firstly, Achiah HaShiloni had become blind in his old age, so he wouldn't have recognized Eshet Yeravam even without a disguise. And second, Hashem told Achiah HaShiloni exactly who Eshet Yeravam was before she even arrived, so the disguise didn't end up helping her anyway. We can learn from this that no matter how hard we try, Hashem's words are the truth and cannot be bent to anyone's will. Furthermore, Hashem's words will be delivered whether the person likes it or not. Achiah told Eshet Yeravam, Yeravam's wife, that Aviyah will die and that Yeravam's dynasty will soon end due to all of his egregious sins. In fact, the last time a king lost his son was also as a punishment for the king's sin. After David's sin with Bathsheba, the child who was born of their sinful union died in infancy. Achiah HaShiloni told Eshet Yeravam that Aviyah was going to die as soon as she returned to the city. However, we're then told that Aviyah actually died when his mother returned to their house. Why is there a difference between the nevuah and what actually happened? It's possible that Achiah purposely conflated Yeravam's capital city and his house in order to demonstrate the interplay between Yeravam's personal home and his royal home. In other words, Yeravam's son's dying in his personal home was actually indicative of the imminent demise of Yeravam's royal home. Even though we're told in Pasul Chaf that Yeravam's son Nadav succeeded him as king after his death, the end of Yeravam's dynasty has already been foreshadowed. But we will have to wait until Perek Tet Vav to hear how that comes to fruition. For in Pasul Chaf Aleph, the Navi transitions away from Malchut Yisrael to Malchut Yehuda. This is typical of the style of Sefer Melachim after Pilug HaMelucha, after the split of the kingdom happened. Usually, the Navi will spend considerable time on one Malchut, either going through several kings or going more in depth about one king, before transitioning to the other Malchut and spending considerable time on it as well. We're told now that we're moving on to Malchut Yehuda, we're told that Rechavam ben Shlomo ruled Malchut Yehuda for 17 years, beginning when he was 41 years old. And we're told that his capital was Yerushalayim. Ironically, Yerushalayim is described here, as it is throughout Sefer Devarim, as Ha'ir Asher Bachar Hashem Lasum et Shemo Sham, as the city that Hashem chose to place his name there. This is such an ironic description because in the very next psukim, B'nai Yisrael are described as worshiping Avodah Zarah in that very city that Hashem chose for B'nai Yisrael to worship him. Although we're not told explicitly, the chronology of the psukim suggests that Rechavam was punished for allowing Avodah Zarah worship to occur in his kingdom. For in Psukim Chaf Hei through Chaf Vav, right after we're told about B'nai Yisrael's Avodah Zarah worship in Malchut Yehuda during the time period of Rechavam, we're told that Shishak Melech Mitzrayim invaded and stole all the treasures from the Beit HaMikdash and from the king's palace. We're told that Rechavam replaced all the golden shields with copper ones, highlighting the contrast between the opulence of Shlomo's kingdom and the pathetic imitation thereof attempted by Rechavam. This, in addition to the events at the beginning of his reign, as told us in Perek Yud Bet, is all we're told about Rechavam's reign in Sefer Melachim. However, in Divrei Hayyam and Perek Yud Aleph, we're told of other details of Rechavam's reign that aren't mentioned in Sefer Melachim. We're told of Rechavam's building projects and fortresses, we're told of his many wives in Pilak Shim, and we're told that in the first 3 years of his reign, he followed Hashem, among some other things. The question that arises is, why are these events not mentioned in Sefer Melachim, but are mentioned in Sefer Divrei Hayamim? The answer to this question, which will be a question we'll be able to ask on several prakim in Sefer Melachim, is that Sefer Melachim and Sefer Divrei Hayamim have very different purposes. As we discussed in the beginning of our learning Sefer Melachim together, Yirmiyahu wrote Sefer Melachim, and Yirmiyahu lived during the time of the Chorban, the destruction of the Beit HaMikdash. And the reason why he wrote the Sefer was to explain to Bnei Yisrael, who were living during his time period, what led to the destruction of the Beit HaMikdash. And in so doing, he focused on the sins of the kings, especially that of Avodah Zarah. On the other hand, Ezra HaSofer wrote Divrei Hayamim for a very different purpose. Ezra was the leader of Bnei Yisrael during the time period of Shivat Zion, when Bnei Yisrael were able to return to Eretz Yisrael. 70 years after the Beit HaMikdash had been destroyed, Koresh Melech Paras, Cyrus II of Persia, allowed Bnei Yisrael to return to Eretz Yisrael and rebuild the Beit HaMikdash. That became known as Beit Sheni because it was the second temple. Even though some Jews did return from Bavel to Eretz Yisrael, and they eventually, after some hurdles, succeeded in building the second Beit HaMikdash, it was an extremely hard situation for them, economically, politically, but especially religiously. They were relatively few people, and they began to intermarry with the locals and assimilate into their culture. The people had very little connection to Judaism, and therefore very little hope that they could succeed as a nation. Ezra actually made Aliyah from Persia, where he was an assistant to the king, Artaxerxes, in order to lead the Jews of Eretz Yisrael back to the Torah. And he wrote Sefer Divrei Hayamim with the express purpose of giving confidence to the Jews who had returned to Eretz Yisrael that they could succeed as a people, and that they should take pride in their heritage, especially in all the strong kings who preceded them, and that they should feel a strong connection to Judaism and the Jewish people. Ezra worked hard to point out Hashem's hand in their lives and in the lives of their ancestors. Furthermore, because Ezra was addressing only the people of Machlat Yehuda, because they were the ones who were exiled to Bavel, and it was they who returned in small numbers to Eretz Yisrael, he only wrote the history of Machlat Yehuda. So now, we can better understand the discrepancies between Sefer Melachim and Sefer Divrei Hayamim regarding Rehoboam's kingdom. Rehoboam's building projects had nothing to do with Avodah Zarah or sin. So Sefer Melachim didn't feel the need to mention them, since they didn't contribute to Yirmiyahu's overarching goal of explaining the reason for the Chorban. However, Divrei Hayamim did mention them because they added to the overall impression of Rehoboam's strength as king, which gave the Jews of Eretz Yisrael pride in their former kingdom. The mention of Rehoboam's many wives reminds us of Shlomo HaMelech, and was probably included in Divrei Hayamim to show again what a strong king Rehoboam was, just like his father, but also to simultaneously demonstrate that he didn't go over the top like his father had, and was punished for. However, this again did not achieve any of the goals of Sefer Melachim, so Yirmiyahu felt no need to include it in his Sefer. Perhaps Divrei Hayamim emphasized Rehoboam's first 3 years because Ezra generally tried to speak as positively as possible about each king to give his people pride in their heritage. Sefer Melachim focused instead on negativity and on what led to the Chorban, so the first 3 years of Rehoboam's throne were really irrelevant because he eventually turned away from Hashem, and that's the part that Sefer Melachim wanted to focus on. We will, Imrus Hashem, return to the differences between Melachim and Divrei Hayamim again as they become relevant in the storyline. Thank you for studying together the Eloi Nishmat Malka Esther Bat Tzvi Yosef.